You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. Please stand by for the John and Gordy Morning Show. Phone lines are open right now. Call or text 608-879-8255 or use the free Civic Media app. And now, live from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, here are John and Gordy. We're truly sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Okay. No, that's right.
All right. Okay.
You good with that?
Yeah.
Good.
Sure.
Cool.
I think we're all good.
Oh hell. Okay.
Let's just start the show.
All right. Well, somehow we came in early today for our afternoon shift, and here we are.
Yeah. It's just a force of habit.
Yeah. So, you know. Yikes.
Yeah. Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not so happy Monday.
God.
Wow.
So much news.
Bad news, really horrific news.
Yeah.
You know, so many shootings that are going on. I mean, basically, I think there were 2-3 shootings. Now, should we go to the first one, which is the stabbing? Do we want to cover that first here?
Yeah. If you haven't heard news from overnight in Los Angeles, Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle, were found stabbed to death in their home in Los Angeles, the Brentwood neighborhood. And that's been breaking news overnight. Of course, Rob Reiner, son of Carl Reiner, and known for playing Michael Stivic in All in the Family.
I mean, everybody's seen his promos for Spinal Tap 2.
Right. Yeah. Which just... you know, came out a month ago or
He's all over the place with that.
Right.
Really, really promoting it. And it's just hard to believe that he's not going to be here to enjoy all of this. And, I mean, what a tragedy. You know, I saw an email. Well, I saw a text. Not a text. I'm sorry. X last night. And they were just speculating and saying 2 people were found dead in a property owned by... Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like, you know, maybe somebody was staying there. And then, you know, now this news that it was Rob Reiner and his wife.
Yeah. And his wife, apparently pretty well known as a photographer and a political activist.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they were both found murdered, stabbed to death overnight and by a family member. And the police are doing the investigation.
Yeah.
And... We'll keep an eye on that, but man, it's just so sad. It's
and then in Australia, the Bondi massacre took place
on a beach. It's Bondi or Bondi Beach.
And the thing is, 2 Middle Eastern men came to the rescue.
Yeah.
And stopped the shooters.
Right.
And these are immigrants, not legal. Well, with minor passports, not long stay passports. Anyway, these people actually saved all these people's lives, and it was so confusing too. A lot of people didn't know that these were the guys that actually saved everybody else. They didn't know whether they were the shooters or
right.
And it was mayhem down there. But you know, it's just a stunning turn of events.
And the video is quite.
Oh, it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
I know one of the people that stopped the shooting was also injured, too.
Yeah.
Is
that the first guy that tackled a guy?
I think so.
Because I saw him, like, scurrying away or trying to get away because, you know, he was being shot at, too, because the police didn't know he was not the shooter.
Right.
And I don't know if he was shot in the leg. I didn't see any injury reports for that.
Very confusing, yeah.
And now they're wondering, you know, well, should they allow them to be in Australia in the first place, you know, or just reward them for coming to the rescue for everybody else in Australia, so.
And then there's the Brown University shooting.
Yes.
And now they've released that person of interest.
Yeah.
So that investigation continues.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible, horrible news weekend. And, yeah.
Wow. I don't
know. Why don't we go to the phones? Matt is on the line here from Middleton. Matt, good morning.
Morning, guys. Tough weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Packers tried hard, and then again we get injured, and I worry for our season now. I'm just kind of wondering, do you think that's a coaching issue? I know when you look at fighting, and fighters have coaches, and when coaches overtrain their fighters or they spar too much, the fighters aren't ready for the real match, and there's more injuries than you should get. Do you think that's something in football? I was just kind of wondering that. We tend to get injured so much, and other teams seem to do better with that.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know as the season goes on, now we're getting toward the tail end of the season, these injuries really start to pop up. And I think a lot of it is just the wear and tear in the earlier part of the season. But Micah Parsons now apparently out for the season.
With a
torn ACL. Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes.
And where did the Broncos come from?
My Lord,
they look like a Super Bowl team there.
They've won 11 in a row.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
About Rob Reiner, I saw that they think his son killed them.
Well, it's all speculation at this point. We don't know. I mean, we don't know what we don't know.
Holy mackerel. Wow.
What a sad thing. And these other shootings, I often wonder if it's the internet that is making people in the world more insecure and kind of emotionally a lot of mental problems spreading, or if you think, were we always like this?
I blame vaccines for it. It's so unusual to see a weekend packed like this with just tragedy, right?
Well, yeah, and the news.
Can we just go home? I don't want to be here reporting this stuff.
No. But the news cycle never ends. It's just 24/7 now, all the time.
Yep.
7 days a week, 365. And so, is there more bad news? Yeah, because we're covering it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it does seem to, it's just overwhelming.
I did hear some good news on the way in, listening to a public radio, and there seemed to be a Republican trying to negotiate, with the middle Republicans, a passage for the tax breaks.
Oh, really?
For the ACA.
Oh.
He says that, and I'm encouraged by people when they talk like this. He says that the American public shouldn't be penalized for something Republicans in Congress can't accomplish. So they want to pass an extension of the tax cuts, at least that, for a little while.
Yeah.
And then start talking about the alternatives, okay? I was really encouraged with that. And he says that they actually have the votes to pass this thing. Mm. But Mike Johnson won't put it to the floor. And then, of course, the Democrats aren't on board with it. I don't know why. But anyway, the Republican was very, very positive about at least trying to extend it. So the American public is not penalized by the incompetence of the Republicans in Congress. And I'm just encouraged by that alone.
Well, good. Maybe there's a ray of hope.
That's
somewhere
right.
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Mike Johnson is just he's just a mouthpiece for Trump. He's totally all in.
He makes me very angry because when I see the facial expressions on that guy, very calm, very peaceful, and he's really grotesquely mean-spirited, it's just a Christian nationalist. That's what they're all about. They're very peaceful and very content with, I guess, foisting off their anger and bitterness and religion off on everybody else. Even if they have to suffer for it.
Yeah. Well.
Well, anyway, that's where I'm standing. I'm going to curl up in the corner now, as I always do.
This weekend, I also didn't have the best news more personally.
Oh, what happened?
Well, I was putting in some windshield wiper fluid.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday, then I put the big bucket of windshield washer fluid in my back seat. And
On the seat?
Oh, no. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
And I left the
cap on the floor.
I don't know why I did
in the trunk.
I left the cap open a little, and it spilled all the way. It spilled all on the ground in my car, and I have to figure that out.
On the seat?
On the seat, off the
floor,
seat.
On the placemats and all that stuff.
That's so awful.
It's just bad news after
Yeah, that is bad news. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, that's just great. We're off to a wonderful start, aren't we?
Smell nice in your car for a while.
That's true.
Right.
Clean.
There's always a bright side. Right. We're going to talk to Pam Yockey in a few minutes, get an update from her. And a little bit later on, three-time Madison Mayor Paul Soglin will join us. And we have some special guests talking about the mural, right, on the east side?
Ribbon cutting, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll find out all about that as the day goes on.
Yeah, there's bird flu detected in Dodge County. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's bird flu or some other flu. It's H5N1. It has affected the dairy herd.
Okay.
So I believe it's, we'll have to ask Pam about all that.
Yeah, but she has some insight on that.
I think it's transmittable to, you know, all sorts of animals.
Now, Catherine is on the phone this morning. Good morning, Catherine. Go ahead.
Oh, it's not a good morning.
No, it's not at all. Not at all.
I'm going to go home with John, and I'm going to crawl into bed with his wife and him and call it a day.
All right.
Well, now.
I've been sick all weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the shootings. And then Rob Reiner, when my alarm goes off at 6 this morning, I'm going to go back to bed.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. And I wanted to talk about fun things. I saw the movie about the aliens that Gordy recommended, and I wanted to talk about that.
The Age of Disclosure, yes.
Yeah. That's like good news. That's fun.
I forgot about that. Age of Disclosure.
Yeah, you got to watch that.
Oh, you got to see it.
It's really good.
We are not alone, John. We are definitely not alone.
Well, I'm glad, man. We need somebody to replace the Republicans.
They're going to save us all. The aliens are going to come up from the ocean and save us all.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get through this together.
Well, there is good news too. Yeah. Okay.
What?
I mean, we have a warming going on today. It's going to be in the mid 20s today, and then tomorrow it's going to be in the mid 30s.
So finally get out of this.
So we're doing pretty good.
Freeze.
Why am I saying this? This guy right here is the weatherman.
Well, I was just about to do it, but that's fine. You did an excellent job.
Okay.
You know?
Well, thank you.
You've learned a lot, you know, just sitting next to me about the weather.
35 tomorrow?
Almost 35. Yeah.
I'm shocked. Well,
almost. Okay. Well,
about 34 degrees. But, you know, who's splitting hairs? I hate to be so exact. Wow.
There is one local, I'm not going to name any names, but there's one local meteorologist who's very much tap dancing all the time. It's about this, and maybe it might just, maybe not. You know, he's very unsure of his predictions, backing away from everything.
I got to watch that guy. That would be fun. No, really.
And I think it's like a Saturday Night Live bit. He can't make up his mind about anything.
That's great stuff.
All right. Pam Yockey is right around the corner from the Midwest Food and Farm Report. We'll get an update from her and much more. Just getting started on a Monday morning. It's John and Gordy. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, we could try to get on the good foot this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's John and Gordy in the morning.
22 minutes past the hour. 8 degrees to start things out, but we'll get into the low to mid-20s later. Cloudy skies through much of the day today. And Pam Yockey is joining us this morning, as she always does on Monday and Friday mornings. Good morning, Pam.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
We're hanging in there.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
You know, sheltered. I didn't want to venture out too much with the way the temperatures were. Although at least the winds weren't as strong as I was expecting. I guess that's coming later this week, they say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But it'll be warmer. So, yeah, I'm glad the winds were kind of tepid.
No.
Yeah. Right. But hey, let's get to what's going on here in Wisconsin when it comes to the H5N1.
Right.
Now, is that the bird flu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
So, yeah. It's infected the dairy herd in Dodge County.
Right. Right. So it seldom, I can't remember in my career, Department of Ag ever having a Sunday press conference, but they did yesterday because they wanted people to know what was going on. So here's the story. They found a dairy animal in a Dodge County dairy that tested positive for H5N1. Now, here's the part that I'm going to be following this week. They are going to do a genomic sequencing on this virus. This dairy herd had been tested 5 previous times, the last time in October, and was always clean. The farmer, the field representative for the dairy company, and the dairy processor have all been just fantastic as far as being proactive with this. So this farm is familiar with the testing protocol and had been clean, like I said, all the way up to this. The other part that gets me about this is these are cows that are in a barn. It's not like they're outside exposed to birds. So that one kind of catches you by surprise. And like I said, it's called a closed herd, which means there's no animals moving on or off that farm. There's none of that kind of transportation issues. So now, you know, like I said, we'll sequence the genome and find out if it's bird related. How did this come out? Is this a different virus than what we've seen? The consumers don't have a thing to worry about. Wisconsin took a lot of time and care putting together our testing program. When USDA mandated nationally that states were going to have to come up with a plan to monitor this, Wisconsin said, wait a minute, we're a lot more complicated than everybody else. We've got over 5,000 licensed dairy herds in Wisconsin, which is a monster to try to figure out how you're going to test. And other states could get by simply testing milk silos. So wherever the milk basically congregated, they could go take a sample and try to trace it that way. That just doesn't work in Wisconsin. We've got all kinds of processing in this state, from cheese to butter to fluid. So that got complicated. Anyhow, long story short, the system that was set up by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, along with the livestock veterinary medicine, is exactly the ticket. They found one cow in one herd. They didn't have to worry about the entire milk processor, an entire silo load of milk, which could have been north of 80 herds impacted. So the farm is quarantined. They're going to try to get answers on how it happened. I know that there's some conversation that's already bubbling out there about, well, could it have been a veterinarian? Could it have been a feed representative? Could it? Well, we'll wait and see. Honestly, fellas, this is an example of where you've done everything right. Mm. There is no fault on the farm. They've done everything right. Sometimes your card just pops up. It is just pure, I can't say dumb luck, but there's nothing that the farm could have done really differently. It just happened. So that's why it's all the more perplexing. We'll wait and see what the USDA and that genomic sequencing say later this week. But bottom line is everything is under control, handled well, and don't worry about dairy.
I'm kind of curious. I know that barns aren't sealed tight. Usually there are birds flying in and out of the barn.
Yep.
Could that have had an effect, possibly?
Yep. Yeah, of course. I thought the same thing. Barn swallows, sparrows, they're kind of, crows, ravens, whatever. So that's, again, one of the reasons why they want to do the genomic sequencing and find out, is this from a bird? What is this particular virus? So it's like, I know every farmer out there is going, well, now, wait a minute. How can I keep the birds out? That's a big problem that a lot of dairies have. We'll just have to wait and see what the results come up with later this week.
Do they have to test every cow at this point?
No. Okay. Well, the farm is quarantined, so they'll obviously monitor. They're going to monitor the cows to see if anything else shows flu-like symptoms. The Department of Health Services is also involved in this. They're monitoring employees and family members to make sure that they don't have any flu-related symptoms. So, like I said, once you start down this rat hole, you can get pretty deep pretty fast. So it'll be interesting to watch what comes out later this week.
All right.
Well, Pam, let's turn to some other news. A Wisconsin Farmers Union had a convention, and it wrapped up yesterday up in Wisconsin Dells. Can you tell us what happened there?
I just think it's interesting. I mean, they did fantastic policy work. They had over 100 pages of resolutions. But what I thought was interesting is, you know, walk the walk. And Wisconsin Farmers Union did that. They have a big, big emphasis on buy local, support your local farmers, know where your food comes from. So yesterday, well, actually all through the weekend, they worked with Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, and they brought in local ingredients. They brought in farmer ingredients from their members to incorporate in their menu, basically, through the course of the convention. I thought that was pretty cool. And I commend the Chula Vista for working with them on not only the menu, but, you know, there's phytosanitary, there's health-related issues they've got to pay attention to in the back of the house. So I just commend them. It was kind of cool to see how many different ways that you could feature local produce in that.
And it's also very good to hear that the farmers weren't injured at the water park as well. So
that's true. No bumps and bruises to report there, as I hear it.
Okay. All right. Pam, we got to leave it there, but we'll talk to you later in the week. You have a good one.
Yep.
That's Pam Yockey. And in fact, the Midwest Food and Farm Report is right around the corner. Then we'll be back with Idiocracy for a Monday morning. It's John and Gordy on WMDX.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Intelligence continued to decline until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
No! You dense, irritating, miniature beast of burden!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
As we always say, dumb all the time, and we've got a whole bunch of stories to prove that.
That's right.
My God.
Idiocracy for a Monday morning. It's John and Gordy, 6:35, cloudy this morning, highs in the low to mid-20s. Finally, temperatures getting out of the deep freeze. Currently, we're at 8 degrees here. All right, let's get to a few stories.
Let's get to something here. The New York Times reported to you about the planned defunding of the Department of Labor's Women's Bureau. Isn't that nice?
Okay, what?
Taking a shot at the Women's Department of Labor's Women's Bureau. Federal cuts have disproportionately affected the departments that have a higher proportion of female employees, such as the Department of Education. So this week, not this week, but a couple of weeks ago, Hegseth disbanded an advisory committee that encouraged women to join the armed forces. Stricter stances surrounding returns to the office after COVID, as well as the end of the federal relief funding for child care support. Wow.
Okay.
Let's just do everything all at once and make people suffer, right? Oh, and Axios reports that the U.S. is around 100,000 child care workers short of meeting demand. 100,000 child care workers short.
Wow.
The lack of child care tracks with more women staying out of the workforce. And I blame, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to blame Republicans for this because they don't believe in providing child care. We see that in this state. They don't think it's an issue. You know, all of these things. I mean, we're 100,000 child care workers short, and they don't see a problem getting worse and worse, or worser and worser.
Don't go down that road again, will you? There's no such word as worser. We figured all that out last week.
Some people still use that. I don't. Okay. Use it. I just find that it just sounds dumb. Okay. But anyway, it's Idiocracy, man. What do you want?
Okay.
Don't set our high expectation levels here on this section of the show.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now let's get to something from The Daily Show. Desi Leidick. She did a little presentation on Trump's Sleepy Joe or Crooked Joe and Trump's reference to coal miners. All right, so let's check this out. This is cut 208.
Here we go. Last night, he held an affordability-themed rally at where else? A casino. A place where people famously leave with more money than they came in with. This is an important issue that affects all Americans. So, President Trump, let's hear your solution.
Which is better, Sleepy Joe or Crooked Joe? We have 20,000 people. I say, which you like, Sleepy Joe or Crooked Joe? Typically, Crooked Joe wins. I'm surprised. Because to me, he's a sleepy son of a bitch, you know?
Get over Joe Biden already. It's like if Mike Tyson was still showing up at Evander Holyfield's house trying to bite his other ear. And not for nothing, Joe Biden is retired now. He's allowed to be sleepy. What's your excuse? But okay, so we got the Biden stuff out of the way. Then it was time to finally talk affordability.
Let me tell you, black people love Trump. I got the biggest vote. I got the biggest vote with black people. They know a scam better than anybody. They know what it is to be scammed.
Okay, that's racist. White people get scammed too. So we got a little off track with Biden and black people, but at least no one was thinking about the Epstein files anymore.
For minors, do we love minors? I love minors.
He does.
We know. We all saw the birthday card. By the way, I was watching this on Fox News last night, and I had the captions on because I'm Gen Z. Don't Google it. And this is completely real. The way that it aired, you can actually see that the person doing the closed captions is also confused. And then, delete, delete, delete.
It was spelled M-I-N-O-R at first.
Yeah, and then,
then it was
they
changed.
Had to go back, backtrack and change it to minors, M-I-N-E-R-S.
Yeah.
Oops.
That was hilarious, though. Yeah. You could see it being corrected and everything. It was just... wow. Oh, that's what he meant.
Oops. Yeah. I bet they got a good talking to afterwards.
Yeah. Probably lost his job after that.
Called into the office.
And, well, yeah. No, they knew the difference. They knew the difference between the two. I mean, it's easy just to go with the O first. And then, you know, oh, wait a minute. It's an E, isn't it?
Okay.
All right, let's get to healthcare here. I have a clip from David Frum's podcast with Jonathan Gruber, the professor healthcare policy guy from Massachusetts, who, by the way, was one of the architects of the Affordable Care Act.
Hmm.
He said some things back then that, you know, keep coming back to haunt us.
Really?
But anyway, he's making up for it with commentary now today. And it is he talked about the future of the American healthcare system. All right, so let's listen to cut 25.
How do other countries approach these things? What do they do right that Americans could learn from if Americans were ever minded to learn from anybody?
I think fundamentally they do two different things. And this comes to really debate over single payer. Let's step back and talk about Bernie and single payer. Okay, what is single payer healthcare? It really is three different pieces. The first piece, the one we talk about the most and that's the least important, is having one single payer. The second piece is universal coverage. That's something that other countries do right. Most countries in the world do right, and that's something we should do. The third piece, which we don't talk about nearly enough, is regulating healthcare prices. We're the only developed country in the world which lets the free market determine the prices we pay for healthcare. Healthcare is a broken market. The free market should not be determining the prices. There should be government regulation to help determine the prices. Every other country in the world learned that lesson.
Yes.
We have not.
We should.
What we're seeing here is America not learning the lesson that was determined in 1963. The very first article on health economics by the Nobel Prize winning economist Kenneth Arrow talked about how you could not have a more broken market than healthcare. What I teach my students in introductory microeconomics, David, is that the market works, government should stay out. But when the market doesn't work, government needs to be in.
Duh.
And the rest of the world's learned that lesson. We haven't. Now, the problem is, having done that, we've now set up a class of groups that lobby and have power, so it's hard to get rid of them. And that is the fundamental challenge going forward as we think about controlling healthcare costs.
There you go.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, that says it all right there. I mean, that sums it up.
And again, who was that?
And we'll be playing that later in the afternoon again because it's really important to get that. Mm-hmm. Now, that was off of – I didn't know David Frum had a podcast, but anyway, that was from David Frum's podcast with Jonathan Gruber.
Okay.
He's a professor of healthcare policy at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and one of the major architects of the Affordable Care Act.
Okay.
So anyway, it's all getting to universal health care.
Eventually.
That's what it's all about.
We're going to get there eventually, but it's going to take a while, apparently.
Yeah.
Run out of all the other options.
Well, there is an option that they're kicking around right now. It's called an association, and they want people to sign up to associations. This is an old one as well. Oldie but a goldie. I don't know. See, what they wanted to do was they wanted to get local communities to form associations of small businesses so they could get together and get a price that's pretty low because there are a lot of people buying into it. Now, that is a failed proposition. People could not join. You had to be a part of a business to be involved in that. So it excluded a lot of people in the community, and it wasn't very open and unaffordable. So they want to go back to that. it's one bad idea after the next.
Yeah,
I completely forgot about it, by the way. It's just that's from what I remember. It's just a failed proposition where businesses get together and create associations. And it's just unworkable. You can't find enough businesses to join in and do it.
You know all about health.
I do.
So is that like, remember HMOs? Are HMOs still around? Or is that maintenance organizations?
Right, right. It's,
sounds kind of like the same.
It sounds something like that, but again, this is just a different animal.
Okay.
It's for smaller communities and smaller groups.
I see.
Because HMOs are larger.
Okay. All right.
But I'll get into this too. Oh, heck with it.
What?
I'm going to get this off my chest.
All right. Well, take a deep breath.
We had a family Christmas get-together over the weekend.
Oh, really? I bet that was fun.
In Illinois. It was always fun because one of my brothers is somewhat conservative.
Yeah?
And we were all sitting together, and it was just the four of us, you know? Just, my sister and my two brothers.
Yeah.
And we were just talking, and I said, one of these days we'll have to get universal health care.
That just came up in conversation.
I just brought it up, but it was pretty neutral. I'm not, advocating any one thing at that point. It just brought that up.
Yeah.
And then my brother just got real angry immediately.
Did he?
Well, people in Canada, they're waiting in line to get treatment. Okay. That's bad. They have to come down here. And I said, no, we have lines here too. And and I said, it's just your conservative friends. They want special treatment.
Okay.
He goes, no, they're not all rich and wealthy. They're just normal people too. And I said, no, that's not true. Because personally, if they can spend the money to come down here on our high cost health care just because they want to skip in line.
Yeah.
They're wealthy. All right.
What did your sister have anything to say about it?
My sister joined in, and she basically said, there's also the problem of medical bankruptcies.
Oh, yes.
You don't have that in Canada. See, that was the dead giveaway, right? Yeah. I mean, these guys, they want to skip in line. They don't care how much money they spend. They just want to get in line faster.
So does every year does your brother get ganged up on? Is it
we didn't actually gang up. We kind of just talked it over.
Yeah,
really. Okay. And it was actually a good conversation.
Yeah. Did your other brother have anything to say?
No.
Oh. he just sat in the corner.
He just agreed.
Nodded his head.
He just agreed.
All right.
remember the last time we got together, both of them could have voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And they said, well, just wait and see.
I remember that. Yeah, wait and see.
And that was
our, did you ask
that,
him about
that? That was the theme on our show for a long period of time. Wait and see.
Right.
And boy, that didn't take long, did it? We became a dictatorship almost immediately, didn't we?
But everything worked out okay. The family walked away, everybody holding hands and hugs.
It was a big scuffle and, a few people got bloody.
Fists were flying, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's cool. You know, the fact is, we never get together, right? They gave us some presents. We didn't expect that.
Oh.
We left them all there.
You left the gifts there.
Now they have to send a package. Well, that's ridiculous. We're not used to this. We don't visit people very often.
Okay. Coming up, we're going to find out about that mural that's on the east side of Madison.
Yeah.
And much more coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's John and Gordy in the Morning.
Mm-hmm. It is 6:52. It's cloudy and chilly this morning, 8 degrees, but highs will get into the low to mid-20s later, and we'll see a good deal of cloud cover. There's a new mural on the east side of Madison, and Mary Lang Solinger is with us. Mary, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you for being here.
You're a volunteer. Get right close to that mic.
Okay.
I mean, as close as you possibly can.
Yeah, much better.
Right on it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
There we can hear you.
Okay, good.
And Mary, tell us a little bit about the background. And also, we're going to have Autofax joining us. Is she on the phone right now? I believe Autofax is joining us on the phone. This is the artist that put together the mural. Good morning, Autofax. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Very good. Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mary, tell us about the background of how this mural came to be.
Sure. Well, first of all, Madison has some great murals, and it creates a wonderful sense of space and our heritage, depending on what the theme of the mural is. Mm-hmm. And so we were at there's another very important person, Pat Kelly. Mm-hmm. I was also at the Tenny Lapham Neighborhood Association meeting in, January or February. And the subject came up, and people got excited about it. And we had another location. We worked with the city quite a bit and realized that location wasn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. So we looked for another one, and actually Pat found this, and it was the wall. It's a wooden fence wall at the Madison Utility, which is the facility. And it's right on the 200 block of North Livingston.
Okay.
And it faces North Patterson because Reynolds Park is there. It's a great big green space. Yeah. And it's a great venue to have the mural because of the exposure. It's right across, it's kitty corner from Bree Stevens and right behind Festival Foods.
Okay.
So
it's beautiful. I'm looking at a picture of it
really
right now.
Something else.
Now, there's going to be a get-together this week, Wednesday?
Yes, it's Wednesday at noon at the Reynolds Park.
Okay.
And, yes, we'll have a ribbon cutting ceremony.
Okay. Yes. Let's bring in Autofax into our conversation. Autofax, can you describe this mural and the theme of it?
Absolutely. So there is a figure of a woman, and she represents the Native American history of the area. Mm-hmm. And she to me is a nature spirit. And from her hair or her headdress, there are bur oak leaves, which are native to Wisconsin, flowing from that headdress. And then on the right hand side, we have two hands holding some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So in this area of Reynolds Park, in the Tenny Lapham area, which is actually my home, by the way, so it is my neighborhood, which is amazing. This was such a gift to work on this project, because not just because of that, but because, of course, I'm a muralist in Madison. And this is so close to my heart. But right-hand side has the hands holding fruits, and those are representative of John Hill, who moved to Madison with his wife Amanda, and they opened a grocery store called Hill's Grocery, and it was open for 70 years.
Wow.
And, and they are, so they, that was the start of the first African-American neighborhood in Madison. And then on the left-hand side, what I hold dear the most is the nature aspect, because without nature, none of us would be here. You know, we all rely on it, and it's very important. So regardless of our culture, you know, that is something that we really do need to remember and honor. And they have, it's featured of different native plants of Wisconsin. So we have the blue flag iris, we have woodland sunflowers, and then a bur oak tree, and then what that area looked like before settlement was marsh, and it was wetland with patches of forest. So I wanted to feature what it actually looked like, and I did work with archaeologists to dive into what that exact area looked like pre-settlement. So I did also work with an archaeologist named Constance Erzigian, who helped me to understand the Native American history of the area as well. So there's so much information.
Artifacts. Yeah, let's jump in a little bit. How big? Yeah. It's hard to get the perspective of this. How long is this? How big is this?
It's 40 feet wide.
Wow.
And 10 feet high. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I worked on this since it is obviously too cold to work outside. I worked on this in a warehouse and then we installed it on Friday on the location. So yeah. Yeah. So it's so many hands helped to make this happen. Yeah.
Mary, let's get Mary back here. Mary, can you describe what's going to happen at the event on Wednesday, what time that is, and the ribbon cutting?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
We only have about a minute left.
Okay.
It starts running out of time.
That's all right. It starts at noon, and it's on the corner of Livingston and Patterson and Mifflin Street. It's the only place that has a big green space. You can't miss it. We'll have a white tent, a white tent top. So people are very much welcome to come. It is spectacular, and I just want to let you know that the artist was chosen by public election. So
very good.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Picture is fantastic looking.
It really is beautiful.
I love the blooming clouds in the back. That really just provides contrast.
It's all gorgeous. Artifacts, I'm sorry we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. And Mary Lang Solinger, thank you as well.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Again, Wednesday is the ribbon cutting. We'll have more on our Facebook page. Back with more of John and Gordy after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.